Hello, Abounding Grace Church. This is Jathan Newton. It's March 15th, 2020. This is our first Sunday of not being able to gather corporately because of the coronavirus. And so this is the first time that I'm preaching a sermon without being with the people that I'm preaching to. But we're thankful for the opportunity to proclaim God's word nonetheless. By the way, there is an outline and discussion questions for this sermon on the sermon audio page where you're listening to this, or you can access that information at the church's webpage, agcvisalia.org. Just go to the blog section, and the title of the sermon is Blessings Secured for Us by Christ, and the date on the blog entry is 3/14/2020. So you can use those discussion questions with your family after you listen to the sermon or throughout the week to review the sermon and dig deeper. All right? So as we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, we praise you for who you are, and we praise you for your word. The flower fades, but your word is eternal. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you for this technology that can connect us even when we can't physically be together. And we know that you are with us wherever we gather together. And especially as we gather around your word, Lord, your spirit is there and active in us and among us. And so I pray now that your spirit would fill each of us, fill me as the proclaimer, help me to proclaim these truths clearly and with joy and boldness, and give us all ears to hear, Father, that we would receive this truth, believe it, embrace it, and cling to it, and just increase in our love and devotion to you, and may you be glorified now. So please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I thought at a time like this, it's always good to reorient ourselves back to the gospel. So this week I've been studying the first part of Romans 5. The text I want to preach on today is Romans chapter 4, right at the end, verses 24, and then into chapter 5, verse 2. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans 4, beginning in verse 24. And I will read the text that we want to consider today. So Romans 4, 24. I'm going to read down through Romans 5, verse 5, even though we're only going to study through verse 2 today. Okay, so let's hear the Word of God together. Romans 4, 24, beginning with the first full sentence there. It, which that is righteousness, if you look in the context, Paul's talking about righteousness. It will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. Thanks be to God for His word. Again, the title of the message this morning is Blessings Secured for Us by Christ. In chapter 4, Paul is explaining the doctrine of justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 5, Paul goes on to give three results of our justification there in verses 1 and 2. So first, I want to briefly talk about the blessing of justification itself, and then we'll consider the three blessings or results that flow out of our justification. And that's how your outline is set up. And actually, I'm going to spend the bulk of our time on justification, and then we'll cover the three results rather quickly at the end. So that just gives you an idea of where we're headed. Now, first, let's define justification, or at least explain it. Justification is a legal term. And it's really the exact opposite of condemnation, right? To condemn someone is to declare that person guilty. Well, then to justify them is to declare them not guilty, to declare them innocent, or even to, in this case, to declare them righteous. So in the Bible, justification is a legal or judicial declaration by God whereby He forgives all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight. He declares us righteous. He treats us as righteous in His sight. So let's look at verse 24. It, again, that's righteousness. Righteousness will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We know the Bible teaches us, God has revealed to us through His Word that He is a holy and righteous God. God is sinless and He is perfectly righteous. So to be reconciled to God, to be with Him forever, we not only need to have our sins forgiven and have our sins wiped away, but we also need to have perfect righteousness credited to us. And when we talk about righteousness, theoretically, if a person could obey God perfectly his or her entire life, that means perfectly loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, doing that all the time, and then perfectly loving their neighbor as themselves all the time, their entire life, then we would be righteous. But obviously none of us do that, not even close, right? We don't love God. We don't like we should. We don't love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. We don't serve Him, worship Him, glorify Him like we should. We don't love others, putting their needs above our own. Instead, the Bible makes it clear that what we know from our experience, that we sin, we disobey. The word our passage uses here in verse 25 is trespasses, right? We know what trespass means. No trespassing sign. Trespass means to step outside boundaries, or to, in this case, to infringe outside the boundaries that God has set. Again, God is our Creator, right? And as our loving Creator, God has laid out rules for us by which we are to live. And those rules are for our good and for His glory, but our disobedient nature refuses to stay inside God's boundaries, right? So we trespass. We step outside. We want what we want, and we don't want God to tell us what to do. We don't want anyone to tell us how to live, and so we disobey. We revolt against His loving and righteous rule. Again, the Bible calls that sin. By nature, then, we are not righteous. We are sinners. And again, thinking about this judicial, legal term, we stand guilty then before God, right? The correct verdict for us by nature is guilty. But these verses at the end of Romans 4 explain that God in His amazing grace has provided a way for guilty sinners like us to be forgiven and to be counted as righteous, even though on our own we are not. So we'll look again at verse 4. Righteousness will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised Him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You see, God has provided His own Son, Jesus, so that sinners like us can be saved. Again, remember, God is holy. He's righteous. God must punish sin. He will not just look the other way, or the expression, sweep our sin under the rug. No, it must be punished. And then thinking about righteousness, God will not lower His standard of righteousness. He's not going to grade on a curve. He's not going to say, well, you got pretty close. No, we need perfect righteousness in order to be reconciled to God and be with Him forever. And Jesus meets both of those needs for us. He pays for our sins and He secures our righteousness. Again, think about the content of the gospel. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came to earth and became one of us, born Jesus of Nazareth, fully God and fully man. And then Jesus did what I said we couldn't do, right? He lived a perfect life under God's law. Though He was tempted in many ways, Jesus never sinned. Jesus did love God with all his heart, soul, and mind all the time. Jesus did perfectly love his neighbor as himself. Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life. He was sinless. He was completely innocent. But look at verse 25. It says, Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses. Delivered up, that's describing the death of Jesus. Right? Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. He was delivered. The Father sent the Son, sent His only Son, His dearly loved Son, to be a sacrifice for sin. And then Jesus, the Son, willingly offered up Himself, offered His life as that sacrifice on the cross. Jesus was delivered. He died for our trespasses. Again, Jesus was sinless, but on the cross, God placed all the sins of His people on Jesus. So there on the cross, Jesus bore the sins and the guilt of His people. And the Bible teaches that death and separation is God's punishment for sin. So on the cross, Jesus bore that punishment in our place. God's wrath, His holy and just response to sin was poured out on His own Son. Jesus was forsaken by His Father and died on the cross in the place of sinners. So Jesus paid for our sins. He died on the cross and was buried in a tomb. Look at verse 25. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. 3 days later, Jesus rose bodily from the grave. The stone on the tomb was rolled away. Jesus was alive in a glorified body, fully God, fully man. People saw Jesus alive. And 40 days later, they saw Jesus ascend bodily up into heaven where He's reigning now at the Father's right hand. But notice the way Paul describes it there. He was raised for our justification. Again, it's the sacrificial death of Jesus that pays for our sins. And then the resurrection demonstrates that God accepted Christ's suffering and death as full payment for sin. So the resurrection is God the Father's proclamation that He is fully and completely satisfied with the work that His Son did upon the cross. It's like the Father is vindicating Jesus. He's glorifying Jesus. He's exalting Him. He's saying, "You did it, Son. You did what I sent you to do. You, with your obedient life and your sacrificial death, you have secured salvation for all who believe." And that's another important truth that this passage teaches us, and the Bible as a whole emphasizes, that salvation is received through faith. We are justified by God's grace through faith in Christ. Paul's been explaining that ever since the middle of chapter 3 here in Romans. And then in chapter 4, he gave Abraham as the prime example that salvation comes through faith alone and not by works. We cannot earn our salvation. We cannot pay for our sins on our own. We cannot somehow do enough good to earn the righteousness that we need. No, it's all by God's grace, His unmerited favor. And then Christ is the one who has secured it for us, and it's received through faith. And Paul says that again here now at the end of chapter 4 and into chapter 5. Look with me at verse 24. Righteousness will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. And verse 2 will speak of faith. And you keep going through chapter 5 and it keeps talking about faith. Salvation, all the blessings that we're talking about today, justification and the results of our justification, they all come by God's grace through faith in Christ. We can't earn them. We simply are to admit that we are sinners in need of God's mercy, and then we place all our hope in Christ's finished work. And the Bible explains what that means to believe in Him, what that looks like. It means that you turn from your life of sin and you trust in the death of Jesus as payment for your sins, and that you then commit your life to following Christ. So to all who believe, to all who repent and place their faith in Christ, the Bible says you are justified. Again, remember what that means. Our legal standing has changed. Though we, by nature, in and of ourselves, are guilty, we are declared innocent. Though we're, again, by nature, we're really sinners, we are treated as righteous. God treats us and counts to our account the righteousness of Christ. What an amazing blessing to be declared righteous. And then again, all these other blessings that Paul's about to talk about flow out of this. And so I want to cover those now. Your notes say, since we have been justified through faith in Christ, just like Paul says it here in verse 1, what's the first result that comes out of that? We have peace with God. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first result of that justification is peace with God. And by the way, all these blessings, justification, the results of justification, these, I'm going to emphasize this again and again. We're going to see it in the text, but they're secure. They're permanent. That verb there, we have been justified, it's in the perfect tense. It means it's a once for all declaration that now has ongoing results. And so just be encouraged by that these blessings are secure in Christ. So again, we have peace with God now because we've been justified through faith in Christ. So again, how can that be? Well, in Christ, then, the righteousness that God requires has been credited to us. And in Christ, our sins, which made us God's enemies, has been paid for. If you keep reading in chapter 5, you'll see that, yes, by nature we were enemies of God because sin is rebellion against God. By nature, we're at enmity with God, and He's angry with us because of our sin. But all of that has been taken care of. It's all been cleared. We've been reconciled now through Christ because our sins have been paid for, God's justice has been satisfied, and we've been given credited with the righteousness of Christ. So we have peace with God, a peace that is purchased by the death of Christ, a peace that is guaranteed by the resurrection of Christ. So think about what that means for us today, loved ones. As a believer in Christ, you no longer live under the fear of judgment. You no longer live under the fear of the wrath of God. You have peace with God because of the sacrifice of Christ on your behalf. God's wrath that we deserve has been satisfied. It was poured out on Christ instead of us, and so we know that we won't face that wrath. Jesus has delivered us from that wrath. God will not punish our sins twice. They've been dealt with. They've been punished. Paul will go on in chapter 8 to say, verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember, justification is the opposite of condemnation, right? Rather than being condemned, rather than being declared guilty, we are declared innocent. So we have peace with God, peace with our Creator, a peace that will last forever, that can never be taken away. What an amazing blessing. What an amazing grace of God, example of the grace of God in our lives. And that peace, that's foundational, isn't it? That should affect our entire life. And especially as we think about the times that we're in right now, the chaos that's going on, so many people are filled with anxiety and fear. But as believers, we can have peace. Peace, not because we think everything's just going to work out okay or that we think the government's going to take care of everything perfectly. No, our peace comes because of the foundational peace that we have with God. Because we know that God is for us and that no matter what trials and tribulations we go through in this life, our eternal destiny is secure. And when we die, it will merely usher us into God's presence, which really is an amazing blessing. And I hope that you all are Deeply, deeply encouraged by that, and remind yourself of that often during these days. So this peace is secure. All right, so now let's talk about the second result of our justification. Since we've been justified through faith in Christ, we've seen that we have peace with God. And then secondly, we have access to God. Look at verse 2. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Because we are at peace with God, we can now have a relationship with God. We have access to him. We can pray to God. We can fellowship with God. We can worship him. We can enjoy him forever. That's what Paul's talking about. This access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Think about that. We can relate to and fellowship with our holy Creator. We don't deserve to be able to approach God. He is holy. He is the infinite God, and we are sinners. We are finite. We are creatures. But yet, Christ has provided this access for sinners like us into the presence of God. Through faith in Christ, Christ's righteousness is credited to us, and we have access to God. We get to enjoy fellowship with the God of the universe. That is amazing. And really, the vocabulary Paul's using here about access, it talks about having this access to someone that's much greater than you, someone of high authority, someone of a high standing. And we have access to the Creator of the universe. I mean, think about it. We couldn't just march into President Trump's office, the Oval Office, and you know, talk with him. We couldn't just do that. We can't even approach our doctor without setting up an appointment, right? But we have immediate access to our Creator anytime. We can open up God's Word and hear him speak to us, and we have his Spirit dwelling in us, and we can pray to him. We can bring our requests to him. We can lift up the needs of others to him. We can have a vibrant relationship with God. We can just not only have these specific times of fellowship with him, but then all the day we can be fellowshipping with God, even as we do the tasks that he lays out for us to do. This relationship is secure. The grace of justification and its blessings is a grace in which we stand. You see that? It says, we have obtained access by faith, verse 2, into this grace in which we stand. When Paul's really talking about the grace of justification. He's talking about everything I'm trying to talk about right now in this sermon. Justification and all its blessings, that status, all those blessings, that is a status that we in which we stand. It's not something that's shaky. It's not something that's temporary. It's not going to change. These blessings aren't going to be taken away. No, the relationship is secure. The grace of justification and its blessings will not change. We don't lose them. They're secure. It's a grace in which we stand. Think about that. Our sin, our foolishness does not break our relationship with God. We don't lose our salvation. God does not change his legal declaration. Nothing can separate us from God's love. We've been justified, and that will not change. We won't lose our access to God, even though we still stumble and sin. Now, it's true, our sin hinders our relationship. It gets in the way. It sours the sweetness of our fellowship with God. So our sin does need to be confessed. It needs to be repented of. By God's grace, we want to strive to not sin. But loved ones, our access to God remains secure. And so how much more when we have sin do we want to remember that God loves us and that we have that access, so we don't stay away, but rather we run to him, confessing our sins and again clinging to his promises and reminding ourselves of his love, and that our hope is in Christ alone. And so Paul is saying that this is a grace in which we stand. And I love that word grace, right? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve these blessings, but God is gracious, and he has given them to us out of his pleasure, out of his love, out of his grace, and he will never take them away if you're in Christ. We enjoy access to God now and forever. And I was thinking about what a blessing that is in times like this, right? You know, we're not able to gather together corporately, but each one of us has access to God. So today or whatever day with our families or with other members of the body, we can get together, we can listen to God's word, we can sing, we can pray, we can worship God. We have access to him. And then again, all throughout the week, personally, we have access to God. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on in the world, we have that relationship with God. We have that access to God. What a blessing that is. So Paul says, since we've been justified through faith in Christ, we have peace with God, we have access to God, and then the last blessing I want to talk about today, we will share in the glory of God. Right? That's what he says. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Another way of saying that is we will be with God forever in glory. We will share in the glory of God, that glory that was forfeited through our sin, that it will be restored. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope in the Bible is not like the world's concept of hope, right? It's not just a desire. It's not just a wish. It's not something that's uncertain. Oh, I hope. No, biblical hope is certain. It's certain. It just hasn't been received yet. It hasn't been attained yet, but it's our certain future that God has promised to us. And that's why it's so certain. It's rooted in the promise of God, God who cannot lie. So this hope is a certainty that we have for the future. God promises that someday all believers will be glorified. When Jesus comes back to earth, he will eradicate sin once and for all. All believers will be raised with a perfect glorified body, completely free from sin. Christ is our first fruits, right? And we're the rest of the harvest, and we'll experience a resurrection like his. And so think about the hope that gives us, even now as we await that. As a follower of Christ, we don't need to worry that our body breaks down. We don't need to, I mean, obviously we try to be good stewards, right? And be wise, but we don't need to fear ultimately sickness and death, because we know that in the end we will be clothed in a brand new body, a body that will never get sick, a body that will never die. And then in that body we will be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will be in the glory of God. We'll spend eternity with Christ in a perfect place and in a perfect body. What an amazing hope that we have, that one day we will be raised from the dead like Jesus and given a perfect glorified body. That's what Paul is saying. He says, we rejoice in that. That hope fills us with joy. Again, we have peace. We can have peace even in this world of chaos and this world of sin, world of persecution. We can have peace and we can have joy. Because as a believer in Christ, you have a wonderful future and it's secure. Nothing will take it away. You will worship God in his presence forever. And again, what a amazing blessing to be thinking about during these times of what that will be like to be with God forever in a new heavens and a new earth. When we won't have to worry about viruses. When we won't have to deal with sin or persecution from others, and we won't have to battle our own sin anymore. We'll just enjoy perfect peace, perfect fellowship with our Savior, with our God. We get foretastes of that now, and those are sweet. But oh, what that will be like when we have it in totality, in its fullness. So those are the blessings that Paul mentions, even just in these few brief verses. Since we have been justified through faith in Christ, we have peace with God. We have access to God, and we will share in the glory of God. Again, I hope those blessings encourage you today and this week to know that you've been declared righteous, that God is treating you. All his dealings with you now are on as he deals with Christ. He loves us in Christ. We are at peace with him because we are in Christ. We have peace with God. He loves us. We are his children. We've been adopted into his family. We can come into his presence with our prayers. We can come into his presence with our thanksgiving and with our worship. We can enjoy sweet fellowship and have a sweet relationship with God. And we know that in the end, God will welcome us into his presence forever. Be encouraged by that, loved ones. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing grace. You didn't need to do this, but yet you chose to save sinners like us. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, for setting your love on us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and living and dying and rising in our place. Oh, what amazing blessings. Father, thank you for forgiving our sins. And though we in ourselves are guilty, thank you for declaring us righteous and giving us what we desperately need to be with you. Thank you for the experience of those blessings even now, to know that we are at peace with you, to know that we can have a relationship with you. Help us to enjoy those blessings to their full. Father, help us to cultivate that relationship with you, to draw near to you again and again. And thank you for the sure hope that we have that our future is secure with you. Father, please be with your people. We pray that you'd be glorified in our lives, even now as we walk with you, as we enjoy our relationship with you. Fill us with that hope. Help us live out that hope and that peace today. Help us be salt and light to others around us, even during these times of uncertainty and chaos and fear that's so rampant. Father, help us to live out the gospel. May others be drawn to that. May people ask us, what's the reason for the hope that we have? May we be able to tell them about your grace and about what Christ has done for us. And I pray that many will be saved during this time. Many will turn to you. Draw sinners to yourself. Be glorified. Father, we do pray for your people. We pray that you would protect us. We pray that you will be with those, Father, who are weak or those who are struggling, Lord, maybe with fear or anxiety. Lord, please encourage them. Give them the grace they need. And please be with the vulnerable among us, even those who are weak physically. Please protect them. Father, be with our country. We pray for our leaders. Please give them wisdom and courage as they lead. And we pray for our medical workers. Father, thank you for just your common grace to us in giving us so many medical benefits and advances, Lord. And so please be with those who are treating those who are sick and trying to help meet the needs at this time. We pray not only for our country, but for other countries as well. Father, may many look to you and may you be merciful to many. Father, we just thank you for the peace that we have. May that peace reside with us now throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen. And loved ones, I'll close with this benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.